Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you,
Esther.
We've
got a captive audience.
Okay, thank you, Esther, for inviting me to speak. As Esther mentioned, we met on Shavuos, and at that time, Esther actually asked me about speaking on this date. So here we are. Thank you, everybody, for coming out on a Sunday morning to support a wonderful organization that even from afar you can be like a mother in Israel to people who are not biologically your children, which is really the key to understanding what it means to be an Aim B'Yisrael, a mother in Israel. I was speaking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and in essence, even though we all have last names, the last name really of every single one of us is truly Am Yisrael. It really is. I have the same last name as someone who is 5,000 miles away or 500 miles away or 3,000 miles away who I never met before, who I feel like their mother. Why? Because the last name is the same. And that is, we are all Am Yisrael. To be an Aim B'Yisrael is to really care for somebody who is not only your own biological child, but who is part of Klal Yisrael. Who was the first Aim B'Yisrael? The first Aim B'Yisrael, of course, the first mother of Israel was Sara Imenu. So for that, we go back thousands of years and we look at Sara Imenu. So today we're really going to look at, in our shiur today, the first mother of Israel, which was Sara Imenu. No, we call her Imenu, our mother. It doesn't mean she was mother of Yitzchak and she lived some ancient time in the land of Canaan and I have no connection to her. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, could you all hear me?
Yes.
Just like Moshe Rabbeinu is my rabbi and Avraham Avinu is my father, Sara Imenu is very much my mother. She is our mother. So first of all, let's look at when she was named Sara. The first thing is she began her journey actually as Yiska, but we only meet her once as Yiska, and that's at the end of Parshas Noach. She is hidden. Yiska, she is more hidden, or Sukkah, she provides shelter. And then we meet her, and her name is Sarai, and it ends with a Yud. Okay? Sar, princess, Yud. So Rashi says, when Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, she's not going to be Sarai anymore. She will be Sarah, as is the way that we refer to her, of course. She's Bereishis, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tezvav, 17:10. Vayomer Elokim el Avraham. Elokim said to Avraham, Sarai ishtach alo tikra eshmo Sarai. Your wife Sarai, she's not Sarai anymore. Ki Sarah shmo. Her name is now different. She has a new name. Yud is going out and Hey is going in. And Rashi says there, Sarai means my princess, li velo la'acheri. Right now she's mine. It's subjective, you could say. She belongs to me. Now she's having somebody different. Shatahes Sarah al-Kol. Now she's going to be the princess for all. So that means she becomes the possession not only of everybody, but of course of all of Klal Yisrael. She's now Sarah, the princess of everybody. What does it mean to be an Aim B'Yisrael? Shlomo HaMelech wrote one of the most beautiful tributes to the Jewish woman on the level of the Pshat, Eishas Chayil Miyimtza V'Rachak Mipninim Michra, a woman of valor who can find far beyond pearls is her value. Think of the most beautiful jewels, the most beautiful gems, you know, over Pesach we were in Toronto and we went to the Royal Ontario Museum. Has anyone ever been there, to the RAM? So they, years ago, so they have one of the very cool things they have is a hall of ancient Egyptian artifacts, and they have a mummy there. This is just an aside. It's very, very cool because I told my kids this is the perfect trip for Pesach and Yetzias Mitzrayim. I mean, it's a real mummy. You could still see some hair, toes, it's wrapped. It's unbelievable. But they now have a hall of gems. It's a new exhibit. It was breathtaking. I can't describe how Marabu Masach Hashem Kulam Bechachma Sisa Mala Arts Kinenecha. They had, I can't describe. You had to see the gems and the colors and the shapes and what grows in the ground and the patterns. It was beyond words. The Eishes Chayil is more beautiful than that entire hall of gems, which comes in fuchsia and light pink and dark pink and green and neon colors and hues. They had rocks, and they just cut them in half to show you. On the outside, it looks like a rock, and to show you what it looks like on the inside. It's beyond words. I can't describe how unbelievable it was. The Eishes Chayil is more beautiful than that whole hall. What are the midot? What are the traits? What are the characteristics that make up the Eisha Chayil, that make her more beautiful than gems of pink and amethyst and green and purple and blue and mother of pearl, which is from under the ocean, more worthy than gold. What does the princess overall, Sara Imenu, teach us? So in today's lecture, we're going to be looking at Sara Imenu, who is the first princess of Israel and a modern day mother of Israel as well. And we will see that the character traits of Sara Imenu carry down throughout the generations, beginning with her, the woman who was chosen to be the mother of the Uma Yisraelis, to join her journey, her fate, her destiny with Avraham Avinu. Am I talking too fast?
No.
Right? And how those character traits carry down into each and every single one of us, literally sitting here in this room. Every person in their own way represents one of those gems in their room. It's a beautiful mashal. All the gems were different. They're all different. I could show you some pictures on my phone. It's breathtaking. But they're all in the same hall of gems. Isn't that beautiful? We're all different. We're not all the same. We have different names. We have different features. We have different character traits. We have different strengths. We have different weaknesses. But we're all in the same hall. And what's the hall? Am Yisrael. And for us specifically as Jewish women, learning Im Yisrael. The pasuk tells us when Yitzchak is looking for a shidduch. By the way, it's very cool. Sefer Bereishis, Perek of Dalet, chapter 24, is really the first shidduch made in Klal Yisrael. Okay? We have the father who's looking for a shidduch. We have the shadchan. We have, he goes on a long journey. Someone once told me a very nice lesson from this parasha, Tara Habib. It's one of the longest prakim in the Chumash. It's about 67 verses long. So someone told me a very nice mashal. Sometimes the shidduch takes a very long time to come to fruition. But you should know, with lots of hishtadlus and lots of patience, it will happen. You know, the Torah could have told us about the shidduch, Perek of Dal and Bereishis, in like a few verses. The Torah could do whatever it wants. Send Avram, sends Eliezer. Eliezer finds her, brings her home. They get married. 5 verses later, the shidduch's complete, they're married under the chuppah. No, 67 verses, it takes some time. But the final pasuk in Perek of Dalet is, Vayivieha Yitzchak ha'ohala sara imo. Yitzchak brings this woman, of course, the second aim by Yisrael is Rivka. He brings her to the tent of Sarah, his mother. And he takes Rivka and she becomes for him a wife and he loves her. The pasuk says he loves her. And he is comforted over his mother. So he has lost his mother. He has been the Ola Tamima on the Akedah. He has lost his mother. And what brings him comfort? Rivka, his new wife. But Rivka isn't just Rivka. Just like we said, each gem is different, but we're all cast from the same mold. Rivka is cast from the same mold as Sara Imenu, even though she's different. Maybe Sara's amethyst and she is, I don't know, Tanzanite. No, Tanzanite is bright blue. It's a. Could you tell how taken I was with this hall of gems? If you're in Toronto and they still have this exhibit, you should really go see it. But we learn from everything. We learn from everywhere. Don't just appreciate the gems. Appreciate what they teach us. So Rashi says, what was Rivka that he brought comfort to Yitzchak? What was she? What were the traits that she embodied? What made her so special? So Rashi says, it's Bereishis 24:67. He brings her to the tent and she is Sarah, his mother. The pasuk says, Ha'ohala Sarah Imo. And he is comforted. So what does Rashi say? V'na'aseis dugma sara imo. That's what I just explained to you. She became the example, the epitome of, the embodiment of Sara. It's a different woman, but she's Sara Imenu. You're not Sara. You're not Sara. I'm not Sara, but I'm Sara. Every aim by Yisrael is dugmas sara imo. When we fulfill our tafkid, when we rise to the occasion, when you be the best ima Yisraeli you can be. Klomar vaharehi sara imo. So then Rashi says she's not really Sara. So what does it mean she's dugmas sara imo? What does that mean? It means to tell you she becomes like Sara, his mother. She embodies what Sara embodies. She calls mancha Sara kayames. All the while that Sara was alive, there were certain brachot, certain blessings, excuse me. There were certain, sorry, sometimes it happens when I'm teaching. There were certain blessings that were constantly over the tent of Sarah that proved what a beautiful woman she was. Ner daluk me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. There was a candle lit. My candle goes out after 2 hours, after 3 hours, after 5 hours if you buy the long lasting ones. Hers went from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. U'bracha mitzuya be'isa. We just passed to Parsha Shlach, the mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah. There was a blessing found in her dough. It would increase and never became stale. The anan kasher al ha'ohel, the cloud, the divine presence, the shechina rested over her tent. U'mishameisa pasku. Who brought bracha to the home of Avram and Sarah?
Sarah.
Who ensured that the ner was dalek me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos? The candle never went out. Lo yichba b'layla nera. The candle does not go out on Eisa. Shlomo ha'melech v'sari menu. Who brought the bracha to the Isa? Who brought the parnasa, the physical sustenance, the spiritual sustenance, the lechem to them? Sarah. And finally, who brought the anan? The anan represents, of course, the Shechina. We are told over and over and over again in the Chumash that Hashem rested his Anan. The over Har Sinai, there was, he descended in the Anan Kaviyach. Hashem doesn't descend, but he manifested as the cloud. On top of the Mishkan, Hashem manifested as a cloud. By the time of Kriyas Yamsif, there was the cloud of the Shechina. Who brought the cloud to the tent? What is it? What do the sources tell us? Not Avram Avinu. I'm not taking anything away from Avram Avinu. God forbid. He was the father of the Umi Yisraelis. But who brought the Shechina down, so to speak, to the home? The Ein Bi Yisrael. Sarah Imenu. The Ner Daluk. We know that Shabbos candles represent Shalom Bayis. So not only did she illuminate the home by being the princess to all, by having the wisdom, the right words, the right personality, the right understanding of what it means to be a mother be Yisrael, but her candle was lit constantly, which radiates Shalom Bayis. The bracha be'isa, we said, doesn't only represent physical sustenance, but also spiritual sustenance. And finally, the anan kasher al ha'ohel represents the cloud tied to, so to speak, on top of the tent, represents the divine manifestation of the Shechina. And when she died, says Rashi, the brachos all left. The tent is bereft of the mother of Yisrael. Avram Avinu is left without his mother of Israel. Yitzchak is left without his mother. And they are in mourning. And who restores the sanctity and the wholeness and the completeness to the tent? Rivka. Because again, she might be a different gem, but she goes into this, she is ensconced in to the Hall of Gems. And that makes her relevant. An ancient, I wrote, yet timeless mother of Israel, a modern day relevant mother in Israel. Has anybody heard of Rabbi Tzinheni Machlas? Now, by show of hands, a few people here. Rabbi Tzinheni Machlas passed away this past October 2015. She was 58 years old. She actually, in all my shirim, I know for the vast majority of us, it's our first time learning together. I always, almost always try and bring the learning from the Chumash down to modern times. Because if we look at the Torah as an ancient book, you know how much relevance it has to me if it's ancient? Double zero. If it's antiquated and it sits on the shelf of a library, even though we don't have so many libraries anymore with modern day technology, but if it sits on the shelf of a library and I view it as some ancient book that God gave Moses at Sinai and it's meant to sit in my library and it's antiquated, then what does it tell me? Then it will tell you nothing if that's a view of the Torah. But if you see the Torah as a modern-day book that carries down and resonates and cries throughout the generations, Na'aseh V'Nishma means we will do, we, today. And it speaks to me. So I almost always try, I would say always, but you should never say always because can't be too sure. I almost always try to relate my classes not only to what happened back then, but to today. So who was Hani Machla? She was a beautiful example of an Ein Bi Yisrael. She was a woman who lived in Eretz Yisrael. She was an American woman who made Aliyah. And she became the embodiment of Asara Imenu. She opened her home and her hearts to hundreds, I would not say hundreds, I would say thousands of Jewish people who needed a mother in Israel. Now, I said before, every one of us has our own tafkid. I'm going to tell you about Hani Machlas. But sometimes when we read of giants who seem larger than life, you think, what could I contribute? I'm an anonymous person who lives in Cedars. What could I contribute? I don't have the kochos to open my home to thousands of people. But I'm going back to the Hall of Gems. The big rock cut in half was breathtaking, and the teeny tiny stone bursting with color and hues. And what do they call it? The diamond, the way you cut the diamond, when the light bends. Facets, yeah? That tiny, thank you, that 1-carat stone with all its facets is also beautiful. Hashem needs all the stones. So whether we impact thousands or we impact a few, it's the same preciousness before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Eishes Chayil is more beautiful than all the gems in the world. So I'm going to tell you a vignette about Hani Machlis. Her husband, she was 58 years old when she passed away. And when I say she impacted thousands, I literally mean thousands. She would host around 300 people every single Shabbos to her home. About 150 Friday night, more than 100 Shabbos day. She had seminary girls who would do their chesed. You know, when you go to seminary, you do chesed. Their chesed project was to go, were you there, were you with her? Oh, wow, was to go to the Machlis home and help her prepare for Shabbos in her teeny kitchen. When I complain about the size of my kitchen in Cedars, which I try not to do so often, but in her teeny kitchen.
In the old city.
In the old city.
You could Google her name, you'll find it right away. She was very, very well known. Okay, in her so now talking about a modern day mother of Israel in her 58 years in this finite world, Rabbi Tenhani Machlis Alaha Hasham achieved great spiritual heights. Her sister and I wrote this tribute to her on Chabad.org. She had the ability to see God's hand everywhere and anywhere, and that was really Sara Imenu. Everything in my life is run by, is created by, is ordained by divine providence. At the funeral, a tearful Rabbi Machlis related one story. This is what her bereaved husband said about her at the funeral. Vayavo Avram lispod the sar v'livkosa. The husband comes lispod to give a hesped for the aim b'Yisrael, for the Eishuskaya v'livkosa. And there's a loss. And Avram cried, and Rabbi Machlis cries. One time he invited a destitute man, who he always saw at the Kotel, to come home and to eat with him. That day, Henny, his wife, served her whole wheat homemade pizza. The man loved it. He came back to the house every day, asking for a slice of homemade whole wheat pizza. Finally, Henny suggested she could teach him how to make her homemade whole wheat pizza. Painstakingly and with infinite patience, Henny taught him. One night, several days later, at 3:00 in the morning, there's a knock at the door. Quote, said Rabbi Machlis in his hesped, not on the front door. Our front door is always open. Someone was knocking on our bedroom door. The loud knocking woke him up, persisted. Alarmed, and must have been an emergency, Rabbi Machlis went to the bedroom door and he opened the door at 3 a.m. Who's there? When the man identified himself, Rabbi Machlis opened the door and said, what do you need? What's wrong? The man said, quote, I forgot how to make whole wheat pizza. I need your wife to explain it to me again. Rabbi Machlis was exasperated. At 3:00 in the morning, you need my wife to remind you how to make whole wheat pizza? But Henny calmed him down. She said to her husband, it's a test. It's from Hashem. She allowed him in and she reiterated to him step by step how to make whole wheat pizza. It's a test, she said. Now, please. Not recommending that any of us open the door at 3:00 in the morning to somebody who's knocking. We should probably call the police if someone's knocking on the door, God forbid, at 3:00 in the morning. But we do have to understand that there are certain imahot b'Yisrael who seem larger than life while they yet live in this world. They are the gems with millions of facets that take your breath away that you can't describe in words. But we're all in the hall. Even if I'm not as big as them, and even if I'm not as bright as them, and even if my clarity isn't the clarity of theirs, and my diamond's not as pure as theirs, I'm still in the hall. And we have to keep these stories in mind because they inspire us to reach higher heights on our own level. I'm not going to start opening my door at 3 o'clock in the morning. I should not. I can't imagine I would have the time or the patience to teach someone every single day how to make homemade whole wheat pizza. But that's not the point. Keep it in mind because it inspires you to breathe that much brighter, that much more giving. Raise yourself that much higher in Kal Yisrael. The sages tell us. Pirkei Avos, chapter 5, Mishnah 4. Asar Nisyonus Nisasa Avram Avinu Alav HaShalom V'Amad Bekulam. Avram Avinu, our first forefather, was tested with 10 tests. He withstood them all. Lodia Kamachibaso Shal Avram Avinu. To let you know how endeared Avram Avinu was to the Almighty. God loved him so much, he was tested with 10 tests. A friend once said to me about a life struggle, she said, don't pass your nisayon, don't pass your test too quickly. Because when you pass that one, you know what Hashem has in store for you? The next one. However, he was not alone. He had an ezer kenegdo, a helper opposite him. Lo tov heyos adam levado, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not good for man to be alone. Creation is completed and everything is beautiful. And man does not have a helper opposite him. He can't get through this turbulent, frightening, disturbing, upside-down world alone. Lo tov, the first time we encounter lo tov in the Torah. Lo tov, there's a chair.
It's okay.
Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado, eser lo ezer kenegdo. I feel bad. We should move it.
No, I have, wait, sit. I have another chair in the kitchen.
I'll get it. Go.
There's a chair in the kitchen. No, there's a chair in the kitchen.
That's for the next person who's ready. It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make for him a helper opposite him. So Hashem created Chava from the side of Adam. He takes from Adam's side, he puts him into a deep sleep, and he creates from Adam. Vayiven Hashem Elokim Esatzela Asher Lakach Min HaAdam. Vayiven Vav Yud Beis Nun. And Hashem built that side into a woman. Vayiven Shorash is Beis Nun. Vav and Yud He, referring to the Almighty, Beis Nun built. But Beis Nun is also the Shorash of Bina. And what's Bina? Intuition. Or understanding, as the sages say, Bina, based on this pasuk, Vayivin Hashem Elokim Esatzela, from the moment of her creation, Bina Yaseira Nasna Liisha Yoser Mibiish. A woman has a deeper level of intuition or understanding more than a man. My mother has a classic line, which I don't know if it's classic, it became classic to me. She said it to me a few years ago. She said, give a 12-year-old girl a baby to hold, and give a 12-year-old boy a baby to hold. And see the difference. Bina Yaseira Nasna Liisha Yoser Mibish. So that Bina became emanated in Sarah Imenu as the Ezer Kenegdo. She wasn't just the wife, she was the helper opposite him to balance Avram Avinu, to give him strength to Avram Avinu. And the Pasuk tells us that when Avram and Sarah went and they journeyed to the land of Canaan, they take as Hanefesh Asher Asu Bechar, and they take Lot, he takes Sarah, they take their Rechusham, their possessions, as Hanefesh Asher Asu Bechar, and they take the souls that they made. So what does it mean, the souls that they made? So Rashi says that they brought under the wings of the Shechina. And Rashi says straight out, Avram would be Megayer, Avram would convert, Avram would teach the men the ways of the one true God, and Sarah would convert the woman. She was with him in his life experiences, in his life trials. And with every stage and with every test, Avram Avinu had Sarah Imenu, the first Eishes Chayil, and he calmed her husband down. It's a test, she said. It's all from Hashem. Along with him for the ride, from the Kivshan Eish, Avram Avinu's first test, according to the Bar Janura, he was thrown into the fiery furnace, to leaving your land and your home and journeying to a new land, all the way to the 9th and the 10th tests, which were sending away Hagar and Yishmael and the Kedas Yitzchak. She had someone along with him. Batach Balev Bala Vishala Lo Yachsar, her husband's heart trusts in him, he will lack no gain. The final test, which you call Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. You know, when we talk about supporting the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, those of us who live in Galus, there are many ways to support the Jews of Israel. There's certainly financial, need. There's emotional need. There's going to Israel and showing that they're not alone. There's praying for them. Tefillah, va'ani tefillah, says David HaMelech. And there's just remembering them. Just not forgetting them is a way of supporting Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Because we started the shir by saying we all have the same last name. I don't care what your real last name is. I mean, I do. I don't mean that condescending fashion. I also have a last name. But your real last name is Am Yisrael. And that's why if a Jew is in pain, thousands of miles away, why am I crying? I never met these people before. Did you ever think about that? I mean, I mamish never met them before. After Ayala, Naftali, and Gilad, we just passed their second Yurtzeit, Hashem Yinkom Damo, after they were found, unfortunately, in a way that we had not hoped. One of my children, who was at the time 8.5 years old, was crying really like an adult. Like, I never saw, I was worried for his amuna, actually. I was very, I didn't know, what do you tell an 8.5-year-old child who davened every night after he said Shema at bedtime, and who said, please that Ayala, Naftali, and Gilad come home safely. Said, do you want to go talk to your Rosh Hashiva? Do you want to talk to your Rebbe? But he didn't want to. Why? Why do we care? Because even a child of 8.5 knows we all have the same last name. And even if I never met them, I'm their mother. I'm their sister. I'm their brother. That was Sari Imenu. Kachnas bincha sichidcha. Take your son, your only one. Asher hafta, the one who loves Yitzchak. Take Yitzchak. V'lechlecha. Go, journey for yourself. Lechlecha. How powerful are those words? Why did Avraham Avinu, what was he told in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis? And Hashem appeared to Avraham and he said to him, Lechlecha me'artzecha me'ladcha me'beis avicha l'artz asheraka. Go for yourself. This test is good for you. From your home and your father's land and your birthplace to a new land. I'm 75 years old, God. I mean, to pick up and go to a new land. I mean, I don't know the language. I don't know the people. I don't know the ways of the land. You want me to go to a new land and take my wife and my nephew and all my possessions and go journey? I'm a stranger in a strange land. Lech lecha, God said. L'tovascho l'hanascha. For your benefit and your good. And guess what happens? What are the same words uttered by the 10th test, Perichov Beis? Lech lecha. Go for yourself. El Eretz Moriah, to the land of Moriah. Moriah from the word Morah, Moriah, Morah, Torah, to the land I will show you. This experience will teach you. I never thought of that, so I literally just said it now. That's the beauty of Torah. Baruch Pokeach Ivrim, you can read the same Pasuk 100 times. Moriah, Morah, Horaah, Torah. The test will teach you who you are. The test will teach you the strengths within you never thought possible. The test is for you, not for me. I, God, know what you can do. Do you know what you're capable of? The supreme test of the Akedah is not only the test for Avraham Avinu, it was certainly the test for Sarah, his wife, as well. Except that we're not told so much about the Imahot, as much as we are told of the Ava, but they were there. It's interesting, I'm preparing my Parsha class for this week, this coming week, and I'm speaking about Miriam, because Miriam dies in Parsha's Chukas. I'm just giving you a little preview. I'm not going to say the whole Parsha class now, then I'm going to keep you for 2 hours. An hour for A&B Yisrael and an hour for Parsha. How much do we really know about Miriam on the level of a Pshat? If you go through Torah. Very, very little. You want to tell me the first time we meet her when she is a midwife? Are we told that it's Miriam on the level of Pshat? No. When she stands by the river, is she named?
No.
We meet her by name by Kriyas Yamsuf. And then she speaks Lashon Hara B'Moshe, and then she dies. This great woman, Maseches Tanis 9a, I believe, the well in her mare for 40 years, who sustained the people, is the leader of the woman, who was the Ambi Yisrael of her generation. You know anything about her? She's like the teeny gem whose rays burst forth, who fills the whole hall with light. But you don't know so much about her. Because one of the midot of the Ein Bi Yisrael is tzniut. V'atznei alechad im elokecha. I don't only mean some of the words that I loathe to translate, but we have to, sort of, because we live in Galus. It's not only how I dress. How do you speak? How do you interact? How do you walk? How do you eat? We don't know so much about Sari Aminu, but we do know that her soul left her after the Akedah, which was the 10th test. Would I be able to travel something for more Perrier, please? I'm very sorry. I should have brought the bottle with me. I apologize. No. The supreme test of the Akedah Yitzchak, Miriam Peretz, is a woman who I speak about. If you learn with me on a regular basis, you will almost always hear about Miriam Peretz. She was a modern-day Ein B'Yisrael. We're speaking about Sari Aminu, and we're speaking about all of us, and we're speaking of supreme examples of the most radiant Imahot B'Yisrael to teach us the levels that we too can aspire to. I speak about her very, very often. Thank you so much. And I will tell you, was anybody at the FIDF dinner about a month and a half ago in the Sephardic Temple? Thank you so much. In North Woodmere? Okay. It was on a Wednesday evening. I could not go because I have a Kavua class. Thank you kindly. Wednesday evening, so my Wednesday evenings I can't do anything. But after I came out of class, I texted my husband. He went to the FIDF dinner. He said, the dinner's almost over. Miriam Peretz spoke. I have to tell you, when I say I talk about her all the time, I mean I talk about her all the time. I said, he says I'm leaving. I said, Miriam Peretz spoke, stay there, I'm coming. So I went in. By show of hands, does anyone know the name Miriam Peretz? Okay. So I ran over to her. I ran to the FIDF dinner, which was concluding, and I took her hand, and I said, I know you don't know me, but I know you. I said, I am here. I couldn't come to dinner. I must express my hakarat hatov to you. I said, through me, you have taught so many women. Your words have changed me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you with continued koch and nachat. She is an Ein B'Yisrael, par excellence. She birthed 6 children. Her son, Uriel Peretz, fell in the north in 1998. He was born in 1976. And her son, Eli Raz Peretz, fell in 2010 in the Gaza Strip. She said, when we sit down to the Pesach Seder and we say, B'chol dar v'dar, amdi malenu l'chalo seinu. I heard her speak 2.5 years ago at the Youngest of Women. I took notes. And from those notes, I have spoken much, much about her, and there's much to learn from her. So she says, B'chol dar v'dar amdi malenu l'chaloseinu. She says, in Uriel's generation, is Hezbollah. And in Eli Raz's generation, it was Hamas. Tama kitov sach v'lo yichba b'layla neira. She knows her merchandise is good. Her candle does not go out at night. Night is a metaphor for dark times. In Kabbalistic terms, night means hard times. Night means painful times. Night means time like our brothers and our sisters who share my last name are going through in Eretz Yisrael. That one day Halal Yafa Riel is buried, and the next day Rabbi Michal Mickey Mark is buried. Lo yichba b'layla neir. For the Ein B'Yisrael, we spoke about Tzniut. We spoke about Ezer Kenegdo. We spoke about being quiet, but being the force, the burst of light. But for the Ein B'Yisrael, her candle does not go out at night. Says Rav Soloveitchik, in the quiet times, the woman's in the tent. She's in the tent. But in the difficult times, says Rav Soloveitchik, is the woman of Tanakh who is the force and the strength of the nation. Miriam Peretz says, on Shabbat Eve, hours before the sky becomes painted orange, Miriam Peretz sets her candles in the candlesticks, 8 candles, just like before. I forgot to tell you one thing. Between the death of her 2 sons, her husband died, she says, of a broken heart. 6 children, a husband, a wife, 8 candles, even though 3 members of the family are no longer with her. I reach towards the printed blessings that stand on the shelf. I can't find any bracha that fits, she says. One says, may your will be your will that you act compassionately. Have mercy, kal rachum v'chanun, on my husband. How can I say that? He didn't have mercy. He didn't act compassionately. Eliezer, my husband, could not cope with the death of Uriel, our oldest son. His heart failed. On the other hand, perhaps God did have mercy and compassion, because Eliezer was not alive to witness the death of Eliraz. Sometimes I change it. Act compassionately. Have mercy on me. But that doesn't fit either, says Miriam. I have never prayed for anything for myself in my life. In another prayer book, I find, may God grant me the privilege of raising children and grandchildren, wise, God-fearing Torah scholars. I feel resentful. I raised my sons. Torah was part and parcel of their everyday life. Why didn't I merit seeing them, all of them, continue in this world? As Miriam Peretz has learned, every Shabbat Eve is a different experience. When none of the blessings seems to fit, she makes one up. Protect me. I recite the names of my children and my grandchildren. Every Shabbat is different. Like every visit to Har Herzl. Sometimes I get there and I see both of my sons, Uriel and Eliraz, standing before me and walking towards me. I catch my breath. Sometimes the stillness is so profound, I hear the fluttering of a bird's wing, the rustle of a branch. I feel I have joined my children in Eden. Sometimes I stand in front of their stones, and they're just stones, cold and silent. Sometimes I spend time doing things to bring them closer. I light a candle, I clean and touch the stone, I water a plant. Sometimes I take out the little tehillim that I place under their headstone, their tombstone, and I open the page and I read the ancient words of King David. That's another koach of the Im B'Yisrael prayer. Be private. Be tzanua. I loathe to translate that word. You cannot translate the word, but when you see it, you know it. Daven for somebody else. Pray for yourself and pray for somebody else. Be an Ezer Kenegdo, not only for the husband, but for Klal Yisrael. Be a helper opposite. Know that each one of you is a gem. You're all in the hall, no matter how big the carat weight. So I open the Tehillim, and I read, Kapitel 23, Chaf Gimel. Gam ki elech begeitza mavet lo ira ra ki ata imadi. Even when I walk in the valley of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. Gam? Even? What does that mean, says Miriam Peretz? I am already walking in the valley of death. But then I read, lo ira ra ki ata imadi. I will not fear any evil, for you are with me. I live the verses of Tehillim, she says, and I take comfort. It's an appropriate shiur for Tammuz, as Tammuz ushers in Av and the mourning, the crying, the pain over the loss only of the stones, not only of the stones that were shattered and burned, but for every Jewish loss. Rav Salvechuk says, every Jew is a Beit HaMikdash. Every Jew! And that's the greatest tragedy. By the way, before I start, I ask how long I should speak. Because if you could tell, it could go on. All right. Kapa parsa liani. V'yadav shircha le'evan. I think that that's very, very appropriate for a gathering of women who are supporting Amit, which is an organization that supports our brothers and sisters and our children and sons and daughters in Eretz Yisrael. Kapa parsa li'ani, v'yadav shircha le'evan. Your hand is outstretched to the pauper, and your hand is outstretched to the poor, and ani. Very, very similar to anav. Ani, ayin nun yod, anav, elongate the yod, and you have humility. In order to open my hand to somebody else, I must be a humble person. If I do not have anivut, if I think everything is about me, if I live in the me generation, Rahman al-Itzlan, we live in a me world, but we have to be different than that. If I am an anav, I can give to somebody else. Because I'm humble enough to recognize that God shared with me, I must share with somebody else. If it's all about me, I can't. Karpa parsa li ani. From anivut comes chasad. Did you hear what I said? From anivut, from humility, comes chasad. Mrs. Henny Machlis scored off the charts in the level of selflessness. At her funeral, her oldest son Moshe recalled, after he got married and he moved away and he started learning a kol full time, his mother encouraged him. If you aren't making it financially, said Henny Machlis, tell me. I'll sell my jewelry. Her son cried out in a tearful voice at the funeral, Ima, you didn't have any jewelry. They had all been stolen by the guests over the years, and your diamond ring, you loaned it to somebody 20 years ago, and you never got it back. Eishas chayim meyimsa virachak mipninim michra. I'm also not recommending that we go giving away and letting someone steal my diamond ring and your jewelry. Living a life of an Em Be Yisrael who epitomizes the midot of Sarimenu. Come into the tent. Your nerd should be daluk me'erv Shabbat la'erv Shabbat. Okay, metaphorically, I can't make miracles. I can't make the candle be lit from erv Shabbat to erv Shabbat. But what does it embody? Your candle doesn't go out in the difficult times. Miriam Peretz says, I take comfort from Tehillim. I live the verses as if each one, she says, was written for me. Your candle does not go out at night at 3 o'clock in the morning. Your candle does not go out at night when our sons and daughters and brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael are crying and there's need. So I step up to the plate. I don't live for me. A Jew doesn't have a last name. You know, it's fascinating to consider that it used to be back in the day we really did not have last names, right? I'm not a historian and I don't know genealogy, but I'm being serious.
It was just Ben.
Even in Europe, they would call them by the town, right? Like my grandfather wrote his memoirs after he lost his family and his daughter, Dvorah Hashem Yikom Dama, and his wife. He wrote memoirs of from his town, from Krasnik, 7 pages, not a book, but 7 invaluable pages, and he talks about Rav Peretz the Shocher. That's what they called them. What was your profession?
Yes.
Or so-and-so the Eloi, or so-and-so from this town. It's fascinating to consider that they actually did not have last names.
When you make a Mishaberach, it's only for the mother's first name.
Say it again.
When you make a Mishaberach. For someone who's sick.
Because we all have the same last name. Very nice. So Chesed is living for somebody beyond myself. And we learn that also from Sari Imenu. It's a boiling hot day. We think it's hot in Long Beach or in Cedarhurst. It's even hotter in the Middle East when the sun is taken out of its sheath. Perek Yerchas of Parshat Vayera Bereshit. It's even hotter when the sun is taken out of the sheath. And you're 90, and you just went back to the way of women. Interesting situation. Not typical situation. And to complicate matters, or maybe you really aren't feeling so well, and to complicate matters, 3 dusty nomadic Arabs show up at the tent. Great. And your husband, who just has a bris milah, goes running to meet them because there are guests. Wow, we're going to do Achlas HaSarachim. It's boiling, she's not feeling well, he's not feeling well. So he offers them, sit down. The first thing he offers them, Yukachna Ma'ayim. First take some water. Wash your feet, sit down under the tree, you're going to relax. After you wash up, you want something to eat. Who's going to prepare the food? Vayimaher Avram ha'ala al Sarah. Avram runs to the tent of Sarah. Hurry up, he says to her. Mahari, shalosh si'im kamach. We need 3 si'im of fine flour, solace fine flour. Lushi, need it. Asi ugo, make bread. Make bread. If someone else needs my diamond ring. Well, there's a child in Israel who is less fortunate than me. If I have something to give, I'm going to give. Olam chesed yibaneh, says David HaMelech. Olam chesed yibaneh. 89:3 in Tehillim. The world is built on kindness, but I want to point... I see what time it is. I want to point out something very interesting. I should finish, right? We need to wrap up, right? Okay, I'm going to. Olam chesed shtika kohoda. Science is acquiescence. Shtika kohoda. Olam chesed yibaneh. The world is built on kindness. Notice... it's in the future tense. Yibana means the world continues to be built on chesed at every moment. I'm going to finish with this beautiful thought, which I think is relevant for to tie up our class today. Rav Pam, Zecha Tzadik Levracha, teaches, when you do chesed for somebody else, you give tzedakah, you support through a child in Israel. You bake bread for somebody. You send a meal to a home of a mother who just had a child, or a chmal son of Shivas. You do a chesed. You give somebody a ride. You just did something for somebody else. You think you're doing something for them. I did something for you. Sent you a meal. I gave you money. Sent a child to school. I prayed for somebody else. That's also a chesed. Or Pam says, you are sorely mistaken. When you do a chesed for somebody else, you're giving them something in gashmias. You're taking for yourself infinite reward in ruchnias. You're not giving something to them. You are taking something for yourself. And Avraham Avinu says, when he offers the bread, guests to the bread, he says something startling. The echa pas lachem v'sa'adu libchem. He's offering them a sandwich. But he says, I will take bread. Ve'echa, the aleph. I'm going to take bread, and you're going to eat. I'm going to take bread. I'm going to give you something to eat. So I saw this brought down in a beautiful sefer. I can't remember the name of the sefer right now. I saw this beautiful verb brought down. The echa pas lachem, he was saying, I will take for myself olam haba. I'm giving you bread, but I will take olam haba. Rav Pam Zatzal says, when we do for somebody else, you're actually doing for yourself. And that's what it means to be an Ein B'Yisrael. It means that we must be hatznei alechad im alokecha, ayesar yishtecha, hinei ba'ol, says Rashi Tzanu, ahi. Live a life of modesty, of purity, I'm understanding that what's inside is what is important. Chesed, doing for others, because when I do for others, I build myself. When I build myself, I build my home. When I build my home, I build Klal Yisrael. Being the Ezer Kenegdo, Kosh Baruch Hu put us here with a specific tafkid. Use my Bina Yesera to be the helper opposite each member of Klal Yisrael, and to ultimately remember that we each of us, prayer, we spoke about prayer, each of us have the same last name. Whatever your last name is, your real last name is Am Yisrael. And we are the aim for Am Yisrael. So may HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you all for coming out on a Sunday morning to learn Torah. It's unbelievable. S'chos, S'char Halicha, and S'char Asiya. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us to reach our unique tafkid, so that each one of us may be the most beautiful gem in the hall. Despite our size, we all have an impact on somebody else. In the z'chud of our being the best imahot that we can possibly be, we should be zocha that this coming Tisha B'Av should not be a day of crying. Hallel Yafa Ariel's mother said, God, please, I beg you that Hallel be the last one. It should not be a day of crying. It should be a day of rejoicing. Umach Hashem dima me'al kol panim, v'cherpat amo yaser me'al kol aretz. We should be zocha to the ultimate geula, the ultimate Yeshua. B'shuv Hashem et shivat Zion. Amen v'amen. Thank you, everybody. Amen.